The Holy Gospel today comes from the Gospel of John. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I did not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the word of life. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this Sunday we're wearing red because it's about the Spirit and Pentecost. The Spirit comes down. And there's, if you even hummed along with that song I sang, that came out of in the last verse in the Acts reading. "Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I just sang a song. "I will call upon the..." So now we're all saved. Just so you know, at least for this service right now, we're all saved because we sang a song. We called upon the Lord. But today is about the Spirit. And for me, the Spirit has to do with... Well, I wrote down a gentle, breezy, gusty reminder of God. A gentle, breezy, gusty reminder of God. I was going to say zephyr, but that sounded too fancy. You know, that's a term for a certain kind of wind. But wind is a pretty traditional understanding for the Spirit. And yeah, the text from John says, "I will give you an advocate who will remind you of some things." And so there's three things that I thought of that came to me as the Spirit's wind came through my life in these past week. And these are the three things. It reminds us who we are, and it reminds us that we are gifted, and it reminds us or pushes us, nudges us into the future of what's next. So the first one is the who you are. Now, I thought you are a loved, forgiven, gifted child of God. You are a loved, gifted, forgiven child of God. So I want you to look to your neighbor, to your left and to your right, and I want you to repeat that. Look in their eyes, and this is the first reminder. The Spirit, you didn't know you were going to do this today. Well, that's how the Spirit works. And you're going to say that very thing. Turn to your neighbor, and you can turn to the other side, you know, to make it so. And repeat after me. You are a loved, forgiven, and gifted child of God. Now turn the other way. You are a loved, forgiven, gifted child of God. All right. We don't hear that enough as people. We don't. We don't. It's so easy to forget that love is not the ultimate thing. Because the world will just break that. Try always to break that. We need that reminder so much. And the Spirit is moving and doing all kinds of different things in all kinds of different ways. And that's the nature of the Spirit, to remind us of that again and again. We are beloved. We are forgiven. We are gifted children of God. I asked Pastor Beth to paint, and I'll tell you why in the last part on what's next. But there's a reason she's doing that, besides she was moved by the Spirit to do some painting. So the second piece is, it's another reminder. When Beth and I went to Isaiah's High School last Friday? On Friday, two Fridays ago, there was an assembly, and it was a diversity assembly. Now, Timberline High School has a lot of diversity. Would you say that's accurate, Terry, who works there? a ton of diversity. Were you at that assembly, by chance?
Part of it.
Yeah. So one of the things that a senior did was a project, and it was called I Am Beautiful. And part of what she did was, besides in the gym on the floor, there were probably 50, 60 people from all different countries that represent different countries in the school. And they all had signs saying why they're beautiful. And it was just that was powerful. But the most powerful thing, and it gets back to this reminder piece about who we are, was when she would go to random students and so there'd be a camera on them, and she would just simply say, "You are beautiful." And that was it. That's all she said. And their reactions were amazing, because you would have like, "Oh, no, I'm not." And then she would repeat it, "You're beautiful." And then they would start to smile. It was astonishing. And it's just, it's again, another reminder of... We so easily lose track of that. We're amazing creatures of God. Amazing. Amazing. And God loves us and is trying all the time through all the different ways, and especially through this advocate, trying to remind us of that. Through other people, through whatever moments where when you hear that and you know it and you feel it, whether it's your neighbor now, whether it's waking up and just seeing the glory of a sunrise. I'm a sunset guy. I'm not a morning person. So but when you see the sun rising or the sun setting and remembering who you are a beautiful creature of God. It's astonishing. A cool breeze on a hot day. That feels good. A cool breeze on a hot day. It's supposed to get hot this week. A cool breeze on a hot day. Another reminder, another thing that you might try. I read this, and this is from... where did I put my glasses now? Oh, thank you. Jeez. Thank you for telling me we're keeping track of my glasses. So this is from Terry McDonald out, and she was reflecting on this text, and she tells a story about going to a spiritual director. Now, spiritual directors are these kind of odd folks. They're not odd. They're just odd in the spirit, because when you talk with them and you start, you sense that they know something you don't, but you probably should know what they know, and they'll tell you. But if they won't just tell you, they'll give you something to do. And that was the case for her, which, as she was talking, the spiritual director said to her, she encouraged me to practice centering prayer, which she described as a practice in which you simply let God look at you. Let God look at you. Now, for her, that was a new thing, and that's probably a new thing for you. It was certainly new when I heard that phrase. Do I want God to look at me? Well, we do, right? Don't we? Maybe? I thought I heard a yeah, but maybe it was a no, and I want it to be a yeah. But let God look at you. And so she was like, she went into the retreat center, she went into the chapel, and she... You know, there's some water there. It was a Catholic place. So, you know, she remembered her baptism, and she's looking around, and she sat down. It's like, well, how am I supposed to do that? And that spiritual director had given her a couple of pieces of paper. And so she took those out of her pocket. And this is what the paper said. She pulled it out and read, "You are precious in my eyes. I love you," from Isaiah 43. "I have called you by name," from Isaiah. "I have written your name on the palm of my hand," from Isaiah again. "And with an age-old love, I have loved you," Jeremiah. Her heart stirred. Because it was a reminder from the Spirit, through that spiritual director, of who she was. "You're beloved. You're forgiven. Wonderfully created, gifted child of God." Another reminder. Some of you know, but I was gone in Seattle for a week of continuing education. I met a colleague up there from Santa Cruz. We did the same thing last year. So he now had a sabbatical, so I met him up there. And so we watched some films at the Seattle International Film Festival, which was great. And then we went to a training. And this is where Beth comes in, because part of the training was going to the Pike Place Market. That was the first place we went. And then we went to a place just north of the University of Washington, in the Roosevelt District. And here's what we walked into. Pike Place Market, it's the senior center there, which is in the third floor down, underneath kind of the main part of the market. You enter like we would in any other setting like this, and everyone is gathering together, lining up, and they're getting food. And this food is good food. It's, those potatoes were good potatoes, and that chicken was good. And we got our food, and we sat down, and it just felt peaceful, surprisingly, because the crowd was... Well, it was me and Jim, two giant Lutheran, he's about my size, big Lutheran pastors. But then there were many people who don't look like us, who came from what this group who does this call a sore neighborhood. And this group, it's an Assemblies of God church, has started 12 of these groups with the goal of doing 23 of these in all of the neighborhoods of Seattle that they've identified as what they call sore neighborhoods. Places that, like this neighborhood where we're at, that has become one of those places where if you have 70% or more free and reduced lunch across the street, this is a sore neighborhood. And so within a neighborhood, you create this space, and it happened to be the senior center. There were 150 people. And there were people coming in, some just getting their lunch and then or dinner and then leaving. It was from 5 to 6:30. So we sat and ate, and while we're eating, there was someone doing some art in the corner, just like Beth is right now. And there was someone else who was at the piano, just like Terry, and they just the whole time played some music. She sang sometimes, and sometimes she didn't. And it was very, in the midst of the chaos of what Seattle can be, if you've ever walked in downtown Seattle, it was a quiet, calm, cool breeze on a warm day. And so we ate. And at a point, there's a sign on each table that says, "There's going to be a Jesus story, towards the end of this meal. You're welcome to stay to listen." And so up comes a man, Brian is his name, Pastor Brian, and he told a story about, it was actually about Jesus, and the Peter and the disciples were fishing, and he said, "Hey, why don't you try the other side of the boat and get a coin?" And it was a coin that they got. It was that story. 5-10 minutes at the most. A quick prayer, and that was it. And then he sat back down and went amongst the people. And at the end of the meal, everyone left. Now, when I first thought about that, and we did this again then the next day in a different context, same thing, music, that peacefulness, the community talking in round tables, nice tablecloths. What I thought at first was, well, they don't have a baptismal font, and they didn't do communion, and they didn't have a written, And then the more I thought, that peaceful feeling, that eating together as a community is amazing, is powerful. And I think we're supposed to do that. Now, yeah, I know. Now, Pastor Eric, what's in blood next? Well, what we're doing here is fantastic. I don't want to change any of this. Well, if you ask me, I always have thoughts. But no, but what we're doing is great here. But what those community dinners do, that's what they call them, dinner church or community dinners. What those things do is they create community, and they create community with people who are isolated, who would not come to this place for all the reasons that you could think of why someone wouldn't come here. So in our community here, there are people who are isolated, waiting, would love to have a free meal, maybe across the street at the church. I mean, at the school. Maybe I don't know where the spot is. I'm thinking the school, because it shouldn't be here. Because the goal is to create this new space. Because, as our presenter said, the whole theme of Scripture, the number one theme, is that this is a rescue operation. God's rescue operation. God wants God's family to be together. And especially, he said, which is the second greatest theme, especially from the poor. The biggest theme is this is a rescuing operation, and the second biggest theme is pay attention to the poor. And this at first I thought, this is simple, but sometimes simple is the best. And in this situation, in both those settings, the peace of Christ was there, because, as the presenter said, and I agree heartily, everyone has to eat. Everyone is an eater. And everyone, as we talked about, is a beloved, forgiven, gifted child of God. Everyone is part of God's family. And so perhaps our nudging, and it will happen or it won't, and you'll be nudged and feel like, yeah, Eric, let's pursue that. Let's see how that can happen. Perhaps that's a thing for us, that the Spirit is saying, hey, there's a new thing coming. St. Mark is going to be part of that. Because we don't have any places like that in Lacey. There are no feeding programs that I know of. Are there? I don't think so. Besides the senior center, there isn't. There's a food bank. But there's no place where someone can step in and feel like they're part of a family. So that would be an extension of this wonderful family that we're a part of. We're going to be singing our hymn of the day, and I want you to think about it as a kind of prayer, a prayer for yourself. Take my life, Lord, that I may be. But I was working on another song, and just to kind of get us thinking about that tune, the chorus of this song I'm going to leave you with as a blessing. And this is how it goes. You are greater than the greenest grass. You are greater than the roaring sea. You're even more amazing than everything you'll ever see. You're greater than the greenest grass. You're greater than the roaring sea. Because when I created you, I created you with a little bit of me. That's my blessing to you.